I take my second test. And if any of you have went to college, you know there's usually only like three tests. So if you bomb one, just good luck. Like, it's already an uphill battle. Well, I bombed the first one and I get the second one back in October and I bombed that one too. Like, it's miserable. I'm talking 50s and 60s on tests. I'm talking 30s on labs. Like, I was not handling things well. And so in October, I checked midterms and I had a 42 in the class.
Alex Williams here to welcome you back to Broken Bulbs, the show for entrepreneurs, creators, and builders who need to keep it real. Today, I'm joined by Peyton Garland. Now, Peyton is a writer, wannabe rapper, and coffee shop hopper who loves connecting with people. Her debut book, Not So By Myself, was promoted by former White House Press Secretary Dana Perino and endorsed by TED Talk speaker and creator of the More Love Letters movement, Hannah Brencher. But she also failed to fulfill her dream of being a trauma surgeon. That's coming up after the break. Real quick before we get into today's show, I just wanted to say thank you for all the ways you offer support, whether it's through sharing the show or through leaving us a review. I really appreciate it. Now, recently I've started creating some bonus content over on patreon.com/AlexWilliams. Remember, I spell Williams differently too. If you want to support me over there, you can go to patreon.com/AlexWilliams or click the first link in the show notes. It'll take you right there, give you access to a ton of bonus content and a ton of other cool stuff that I've been working on. Enjoy the show. Peyton Garland, ready to talk about one of your broken bulbs?
Let's go for it.
Perfect. So you failed your first pre-med class in college so badly that not only did you have to drop the class, but you actually had to drop the whole major. Tell me about this.
Yeah, so I was actually valedictorian of my high school class. So I was used to very good grades. That's honestly how I saw myself. That's where I got a lot of my self-worth. My identity was in performance. I was the girl who liked to check the boxes, ace the test, say all the right answers. And that worked. 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade. And so graduating valedictorian, you know, people always want to know what you're going to do for a living. Like, what are you going to do with your life? Because you look like you should be going somewhere. And for me, I thought, well, an ER trauma surgeon, that sounds pretty intense. Like, that sounds like something a valedictorian would do. I'd been in the emergency room before. Trauma surgeons are super cool. They help save lives. And so that's just the game plan I created to almost save face. Like, that's just what I was going to do to keep up the image. So I go to Berry College. It's in Rome, Georgia. And it was known at the time for its science programs, specifically biology. So I thought, okay, we're trucking in the right direction. So I apply, I get in, and I start my first pre-med class. Now, what my advisor didn't tell me is this pre-med program, when you started your first biology class, this wasn't like Bio 101. We're not going back to anything you really studied in high school. Like, this is advanced. This is Bio 1107. I had no clue. I didn't really check the schedule like I should. I just showed up at the right place, the right time, day one. And I get in this big auditorium and I don't know anything. Day one, they are talking about cellular biology on a level I'd never heard of. It was not something I even enjoyed. I couldn't keep up. Unfortunately, the professor was very sexist. If a female raised her hand, you didn't get your question answered. He'd just let your hand sit up for the whole 50 minutes. So that was hard for me. I had question after questions because I didn't know what was going on and he wouldn't answer them. So I'm kind of depending on other males in the class who are getting their questions answered, but they don't know what they're doing. So needless to say, I don't know, maybe by October, I take my second test. And if any of you have went to college, you know, there's usually only like three tests. So if you bomb one, just good luck. Like, it's already an uphill battle. Well, I bombed the first one and I get the second one back in October and I bombed that one too. Like, it's miserable. I'm talking 50s and 60s on tests. I'm talking 30s on labs. Like, I was not handling things well. And so in October, I checked midterms and I had a 42 in the class. So I go from a girl who didn't even make 89.9s. Like, that was not acceptable in high school to I now have a 42. So I have to drop the class because it's about to destroy my GPA, destroy scholarships. And I had to give up the whole major because there were no other courses. Like, that was the most basic it got. So if Peyton didn't understand basic biology for a pre-med student, Peyton's not going to be a doctor. Like, that's just it. So I had that awkward season of my first year of college just saying, what do I do? Like, I don't know. What am I good at? I'm good at getting good grades, but obviously I'm no longer good at getting good grades. So what subject do I chase after? What am I actually passionate about? And I had my English 1101 professor approach me and tell me to maybe take a stab at English, that I seemed to have a natural knack for it. It wasn't hard. It wasn't something I had to study, but English didn't seem to fit like an ER trauma surgeon status of a job. Like, it didn't seem to pair well with the whole valedictorian concept. But I did, a year and a half later, end up declaring a major in English, and it served me well as an author. It serves me well. I write now for a legal firm as my career, but lots of failure in the beginning, like lots of brick walls that literally caused me to not only change majors and change my career path, but to change my understanding of identity. And that perfection, it just can't coexist with grace and with the reality that humans don't always have all of their stuff together.
Yeah. I mean, being human is messy. Trying to figure out, I mean, especially in those college years, what do you want to do? Who do you want to be? There's this pressure to, you know, like you were saying, conform with the identity you've already formed for yourself and go and have that high status, epic kind of life-saving job. And then as you go through it, you got to figure out, what do you actually want? What can you actually be? Where do you really fit? And so I'm curious, when you're going through this messy time trying to put your identity together, do you have any advice you would offer to the listeners of what they can do to kind of process that for themselves and kind of take that perfectionism out of the equation in order to figure out who they're going to be?
Don't process in isolation. For me, because my identity, I thought, was something I performed so well for everyone else, I didn't want everyone else to know that that was no longer my identity. So I'm processing everything on my own. And honestly, I think what happens when you battle perfectionism is shame tends to be the driving force. It's the narrative in your head. And so if you don't talk about it with other people, if you try to just make things seem like they're working on your own, you're really going to be driven by shame and fear. And neither of those things are going to help. And honestly, you're going to keep falling on your face. That's what I learned. Like, the more I tried by myself, the more I failed at stuff. So just whenever you're processing the fact that something just fell through the cracks or it just exploded, like it didn't work at all, don't process that alone.
And of course, at the end of every episode, I like to hear what's working for you now, because of course, you moved on. Like you mentioned, you're an author now. Tell us about your book and where we can go to find it and the rest of your work.
Yeah, so my book is Not So By Myself. It's a book I wrote after a really tough season of loneliness. I'm married to a pilot, so I spend lots of days by myself. That book also features a hard battle with OCD. I was diagnosed with OCD in that lonely season, so I get real about vulnerability. And that's actually my big piece of advice in general. That's what's working for me these days. I've learned if you can't be vulnerable and honest with people about where you are in life, you're not really free. I'm just super passionate about being open and honest. And if you want to know a little more about that journey and my book, Amazon's your go-to, Just Not So By Myself by Peyton Garland, or you can check out my website at peytongarland.me.
Fantastic. And I'm going to have links to that and everything else you're up to down in the show notes. So make sure everybody goes and checks that out. And with that, Peyton, I just got to say thank you very much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening. You're complicated, so let yourself be complicated. Special thank you to Peyton for joining me and being willing to talk about her broken bulbs. Make sure you check out all of her work, which I've linked down in the show notes. And if you want to offer support beyond leaving a review and sharing the show, please visit Patreon via the first link in the show note. As a thank you for your support, you'll get a postcard from me wherever I am to wherever you are. Broken Bulbs is produced by Mecco Radio, and we are, of course, a proud member of the Create Vine. I, Alex Williams, was your host. The podcast artwork is by Bethany Gustafson, and the music we use is by Brian Claxton and Wesley Thomas. Oh, and thanks again for listening. Mecco.